It's a season where we're excited and we're grateful and we're looking forward to lots of fun, but it's also a season of challenge and struggle, and life keeps happening, and so we're mindful of that. I know this is a season that can typically become a little stressful, but it doesn't have to be. We can choose peace, we can choose grace, we can choose kindness, we can choose patience, and we certainly need all of those things more than ever. We need the real reason for the season. We need the spiritual to come alive in our lives. We need Jesus to be the reason for the season. I loved hearing them sing, "Oh come, let us adore him today." We've kind of relegated that to a Christmas song. It's beautiful all year long, but I love hearing it in this season. And honestly, some of my favorite preaching is preaching around the Christmas story. And I'm praying that this Sunday and next Sunday and our remaining opportunities to worship together this season, I pray that his birth can come alive for you again, and the truths and the power of the Christmas story comes alive, because it's not just a story of victory, and it's not just a story of triumph. Of course, we see that on this side of the story. Some 2,000 years later, we see the victory and the triumph, and we have the opportunity to read through it fresh, and we see it. But I want you to consider for a moment the anxiety that they were feeling in this season. Consider the fear that they were feeling on their end. I mean, fear was real, and it was right there to just hold on to, because there were so many unknowns. And I believe that hearing the old story helps us, because it seems like there are more things to be afraid of today than there were years ago. There are opportunities aplenty for us to be fearful and overwhelmed and overcome. I don't know how long ago kid was for you, but as kids, we were often afraid of the dark. We begged a parent to leave closet light on and the door cracked, just so we could have some ambient light in the room. And I don't know about you, but we checked under the bed every night. Every night. I don't know what we would have done if there had been something there. But we checked it. We just rested better. We slept better because we had checked under the bed. And now, long since grown from childhood fears, now we have grown-up fears. Now we got fears of the economy, and we have fears of whether or not our job is going to hold up in challenging economic times. We're facing high interest rates and wondering if we're ever going to be able to afford a home, or maybe it's my health or your health or a loved one's health that concerns us. We worry as to whether or not our kids are going to make the right decision. We worry about whether or not we are going to make the right decision, wondering if we're going to put it all together. And then there are the things that we have no control of. We got war in the Middle East, and we've got a presidential election that is coming, and we've got AI. What in the world is AI? It's taking over the world. Just seems like there are lots of things to be afraid of, but can I tell you on this Christmas Sunday that fear is not of God? Look at somebody and tell them, don't be afraid. Fear is not of God. Is fear the opposite of faith? Some say it is. And yet, maybe to go a little deeper, fear sort of becomes its own form of faith, because fear is putting faith in the worst case scenarios. Fear is believing the worst is going to happen. Fear is expecting things to just not turn out the way I want them to turn out. But hear me again, ladies and gentlemen, fear is not of God. I love 2 Timothy 1 and 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but here is what he has given us. He's given us the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Fear does not come from God. So if I'm feeling fearful, if I'm struggling and am afraid, that's not of God. I've got to appropriately apply that, put it where it belongs, and purpose to live my life in this season unafraid, without fear. And as we move further into the season and we weave our way through the Christmas story, you're going to hear, do not be afraid. In fact, about three times in the Christmas story itself, God tells us not to be afraid. That tells me we're going to get the opportunity to be afraid. We're going to have occasion to be afraid. We're going to have the opportunity to feel fear in our lives. But God reminds us again, do not be afraid. So when you look at Luke chapter 1, we see Mary, who is the known mother of Jesus. You're meeting her as just a teenage girl, not even married, engaged to this, you know, cute little guy, Joseph. He's learning this carpenter trade, and you know, Mary probably calls him Joe or Joey. I mean, it's sweet. They've got a date set out there in the future. They're going to the chapel and gonna get married, and then maybe find a little beach spot for a honeymoon, and you know, we're waiting on our application and our credit check to come back, and we're gonna get into those new apartments close to town. We'll probably stay there about 2 years, and then, you know, we'll start thinking about, you know, beginning a family and maybe find some other little small house to get started in. And you know, we got a plan. Mary had a plan. Mary had it all planned out. But guess what? God interrupted their plan. Why does he always do that? He interrupted their plan. Can I tell you today that God's purpose is often very different from our plans? Sit with that for just a moment. His purpose is often very different from our plans. Probably because most of the time when we made our plans, we did not run them by him. Generally, when we sketched out that, you know, this is what I'm going to do in 2024, and this is where I'll be, and this is what I'm going to accomplish, and this is what we didn't take time to pray and just seek him and figure out, hey, Lord, I don't want to just do me and you try to catch up with me and bless whatever it is I'm doing. Let me revert back to a previous series a few weeks ago. I want to do what God is blessing. So I want to make sure that I'm praying over my plans to make sure they agree and line up with his plan and his purpose for my life. Oh, the truth is, God's purpose is often very different from our plans. Because the Bible tells us that his ways are not our ways. We get a little hard-headed. We probably refuse to accept that far too often. We feel a lot of angst around the will of God and around God's plan for our lives, and we're in this tug of war between our will and his will. Can I just bottom line it for you today? Whatever he's planning for you is better than what you are planning for you. Whatever he has established for your life, whatever he has set for your life is better than anything you could dream of. That doesn't mean you shouldn't dream. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't plan. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't consider and think and make notes and put together an idea of how you want your life to go. Just make sure that your ideas are baptized in the Spirit of the Lord. Make sure that your plans are saturated with the anointing of God. Because whatever he has planned for us is going to be better than anything I could dream up myself. Luke 1 and verse 26. Let me read just a few verses and maybe you'll see this story come alive today. It was in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Verse 28 says, Gabriel, that's the angel, appears to her and says, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Look at verse 29, confused and disturbed. So glad that Luke put the honest reaction of Mary in the text. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. I'm confused. I'm disturbed. This doesn't make sense. I mean, what? She can't even get her thoughts together. Her mind is swirling with, wait a minute, not only am I confused, but I am disturbed, because I don't know if I like this. This doesn't quite match up to my plan. This doesn't make sense. But God interrupts Mary. You know what? Along the way, I've discovered that what we call disturbing interruptions are often God's divine invitations. What you and I would describe as, you know, a speed bump, or maybe an annoyance, or maybe an aggravation, or maybe an irritant. What you and I would describe too often as a setback, too often as, you know, I just don't know why my life is not going the way I want it to go. We call them disturbing interruptions, and God is saying, no, I'm inviting you to get back into my will and to live according to my plan. We say, God, you're interrupting my plans. And God says, no, I'm inviting you into my purpose. God, you're interrupting what I wanted to do. And God is saying, no. I want to invite you into what I want to do for your life. You remember God interrupted Moses with a burning bush. The message was, go deliver my people. God interrupted David while he was tending the sheep. On the other side of that interruption was an anointing to be the next king over Israel. God anointed Saul, who would become Paul, with a bright light. What is this bright light? I can't see. I'm blind. Yeah, but you're going to write epistles and talk to my church and establish people in the faith. You know what? God may be wanting to interrupt you. God may be wanting to turn you. God may be wanting to disrupt you and what you thought was your plan. Well, I thought I would marry this person. Maybe God has someone else. I planned to go to this school and it didn't work. Maybe God has a better option for you. I understand Mary is confused and she is disturbed. And the Bible said that Mary tried to think of what the angel could mean. I don't know about you, but I have found myself in this exact verse so many times. Confused, disturbed. Let me think. Let me see. Let me try to figure, let me use my logic, my reasoning, my understanding. Let me use whatever little bit of wisdom I can garner. Let me use whatever little experience I can gather up and try to figure out what it is that God is doing in my life. I try my best to figure it out, but you know what? I'm trying in my own power. I'm trying in my own reasoning. I'm trying in my own understanding. When God is higher, listen to me, folks, He knows something you do not know. He sees something you have not yet seen. He has an understanding of things that you and I do not understand. And so our best life is on the other side of trusting Him. Our best days are on the other side of trusting Him. Our best marriages are on the other side of trusting Him. Our best finances are on the other side of trusting Him. But of course, it's hard to trust Him. You know what? You don't have to understand the plan to trust that God has a purpose. You don't have to have it all figured out to know that someone does have it figured out. You don't have to be able to make sense of it to know that it makes sense to the one who is directing the orchestra and making music out of your life. And so the angel says in verse 30, don't be afraid, Mary. Don't be afraid, for you have found favor with God. You have found favor. We spent the month of October talking about the favor of God. What is favor? Favor is demonstrated delight. It's God showing you. It's God putting evidence in your life, visible evidence of God's blessing. Is that a new car? I don't know. Is that a bigger house? I don't know. I just know that my soul is prospering. I know that somehow I'm putting one foot in front of the other. Somehow I'm just walking out His purpose and His plan and His will in my life. And when I have occasion to get afraid of the unknown, I remember the word of the angel that says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid because I'm working in your life. You're favored. You've found favor with God. You've found favor. And this is powerful to me. Verses 31, 2 and 3 of Luke chapter 1. You will conceive and give birth to a son. Let me let you in on the plan, Mary. Let me let you in on the details and just brace yourself because this is probably going to be unnerving. It's probably going to freak you out a little bit because I know you're just a young girl. You're just a young virgin girl. You've never been married, not been with a man, but you're going to conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. What is being birthed in you, Mary? What makes absolutely no sense to you right now? And again, confused, disturbed. What? I'm going to give birth to the Son of God? First of all, what is that? Currently have no experience with Son of God on my resume. What in the world are you doing? To be honest with you, Mr. Angel, that's just a little more responsibility than I was bargaining for at this stage in my life. But can I tell you, every single Mary in the room today, Every Joseph online today, everybody who's just hungry and desiring to do God's will in your life, but you're afraid because you don't have all of that figured out. Can I just tell you that God knows what you're capable of doing much more than you understand you are capable of doing. You look in the mirror every day and tell yourself that you're not good enough and you don't have the ability nor the talent or the grace or the understanding. You're looking at yourself saying, too often that you can't accomplish and you can't be successful and you can't achieve that, while God is saying, I created you. I know what's in you. I'm responsible for the ingredients in your life. I know what you can handle. I know what is possible. Mary is confused and Mary is disturbed. And now Mary finds out she's going to give birth, but she's not even married. Can I tell you that sometimes God's favor doesn't seem favorable at first? Sometimes God's favor doesn't seem favorable. Sometimes it seems like, man, this is a burden. This isn't a blessing. This is struggle. This isn't spiritual. I don't like this. I don't like what I'm facing. I don't like what I'm looking at, because all I can see is this side of it. All my eyes are on is the process of what it's going to take to become, what it's going to take to walk this out, what it's going to take to see this through in my life. All I know is the boy broke up with me, and all I know is I went to 2 interviews and I still didn't get the job. All I know is that I prayed for a child and the doctors are saying something is not right. No, sometimes God's favor does not seem favorable at first. But it gives me the opportunity to trust him. It gives me the opportunity to grow in my faith in God, my trust in the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're leaning on your own understanding, you're going to fall over. I came hobbling out without a cane today. I've been trying this week to live without a cane. I've been doing it around the house and up and downstairs and trying to figure it out, and started branching out of the house without a cane because I learned something. If I've got the cane, I'm going to use it. And I don't want to use it. I want to be rid of it. So I'm hobbling still and I'm not quite there. So if I suddenly reach out and grab your shoulder, just know, well, we're both going down because I weigh more than you. But I gotta trust that somehow, even in the weakened position, even in the once broken position, even in the healing position, I'm still strong enough to get where I need to go. I may not be as fast. I may not be as certain. Allison, I don't know if she's in today or up in church kids, but Allison was telling me that she just got cleared. She's gone through a long process, breaking and all of that in an ankle and a foot. And she said she just got cleared this last week to start running again. And I'm thinking, whew, I hope they never clear me for that. Clear me for everything but running. She got cleared for running. It's hard to imagine that's even possible. It's hard to imagine that I'll ever be able to do that again. It's hard to imagine that I'd ever be able to leap. Never mind. That's I won't be. But you gotta trust. But then come the big questions. Because in verse 34, Mary is asking the big question. How can this happen? I heard the detail that I'm going to give birth to a son. You even told me what I'm going to name him and what he's going to do. and how awesome he's going to be. There's just one problem. I'm not married. I'm a virgin. I don't think it works like that. Not only is this impossible, it's absurd. Not only is what God planning for you, not only is it impossible in your own strength, not only is it impossible in your own mind and in your own spirit, without God, it is impossible. That's why we need him. If you're thinking you're going to start a business without him, it's not going to work. If you think you're going to have a successful relationship without him, it's not going to work. I need the Lord in my life. I need him working and moving in my life. Mary is protesting. I'm not married. I'm a virgin. Don't you know that God has to laugh at our protest? If the Lord is entertained ever, he's got to be entertained by our arguing with him. Us thinking that we know so much more than he does. And we protest and we protest and we protest. All right, Mary, let me give you just a little more of the story. Let me tell you just a little more about how this is going to work. Let me explain just a little further. I understand you're engaged, you're betrothed, you're on your way to marriage, but you two still have not come together. This is going to happen prior to that. Let me explain it. Luke 1:35 and 37, and the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you." I love that. Because in order for it to be possible in my life, I'm going to have the Holy Spirit come upon me. If it's going to be possible, if it's ever going to happen, if it's ever going to work, if it's ever going to turn out the way I hoped it could and thought it should, it's going to take the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. For nothing," verse 37, "will be impossible with God." We need to be reminded of that today, folks. We need to be reminded that with God, all things are possible. And without God, I'm at best just gambling, hoping, wishing. So I might as well make sure that my life is overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. That my life is covered. That not only is the Holy Spirit with me, but that he is in me. You feel those doodads, those goosebumps. That's the Holy Spirit. He's in the room. But I want him to be in you so that come Monday and come Wednesday, when you're facing what appear to be impossible circumstances and difficulties and challenges, somehow I just know what I'm supposed to do. I have clear instruction. I've got clear understanding of the turn I'm supposed to make. Why? Because I've been overshadowed by the Holy of God. What's weighing on you today? What's contributing? What's calling you to be afraid, to live uncertain, to live scared? I want to tell you today, God can bring the right person into your life. But I'll tell you also, God can change the wrong person into a better person. God can provide. He can meet any need you're facing. God can heal any sickness. God can forgive. Does not matter the sin. All things are possible with God. Why don't you stand with me across the room today? Stay with me. We'll be dismissed in just a few moments, but something holy and reverent and powerful about this moment. What are you going to do, Mary? What do you say to all that? How do you respond to that? So grateful we have it. Luke 1:38. Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come May everything you have promised, may everything you have declared, may everything you have said about me, may that come true." You know what? The outcome is God's responsibility. Obedience is our responsibility. Once I say yes to him, once I say yes to him, we call it a yes moment. And we have lots of them on our spiritual journey. There's people in this room today that I believe are going to say yes for the first time. You're going to give your heart to Jesus. And there's others in this room that are going to say yes to his will and to his way, and people that are going to say, "Yes, Lord, I'm not going to fight this anymore. I'm not going to be in this tug of war, my will versus your will. I'm just going to submit to you, Lord, and allow your will to be done in my life." Because the outcome, Lord, that's the hard part. And I'm glad it's not mine, it's yours. You're responsible for the outcome. My calling is to be obedient. What do you want me to do, God? Call me and I will obey. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed in this room today. I'm certain that this word is for people in this house. Maybe that is you today, feeling the drawing, feeling the calling. Right now, all you see in your life is the chaos and the struggle and the pain and the result of maybe some wrong choices and bad decisions. And you're saying, "How could I ever get myself in to the position of Mary? How can I ever get myself into the place of this young lady, this guy, Joseph? How could I ever become that willing?" You can do it today. Giving your heart to him, saying yes to him. Maybe you're being called to a ministry. Maybe you are being drawn to serve something new. Maybe it's something out of your comfort zone. Maybe it's something beyond what you think your current skill set is. If God's calling, that skill set must be in you and you don't even realize it yet. That anointing must be on you. That grace must be available in you. You don't even realize it yet. Lord, our answer is yes. Our response is yes. We're not going to try to figure out the outcome or the end result or the tomorrow. Our responsibility is yes. And today I say yes. I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to change my life. I ask you to renew my mind, transform me from the old to the new. Old things passed away and everything else becoming new in my life. Not missing this moment. I'm not getting to the end of 2023 still undone, still a question mark over my head. Still a doubt in my heart. No. December the 3rd, 2023, I say yes. I say yes. Would you lift your hands across this room and just, if you really mean it, if it's from your heart, just say yes. Just say yes. We say it again and again and again. We say yes. We thank you, Lord, because you're making the difference in our lives. You're healing, you're working, you're moving. In Jesus' name. Come on, team, lead us while we worship the Lord. Say,
Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets. Darkness over every enemy.
Say,
Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
Shout Jesus.
Shout Jesus on the mountains.
Oh.
Jesus in the streets.
Say,
Jesus in the darkness over every enemy.
Say,
Jesus for my.